Continue our way through Joshua. Last week, taking a couple chapters, Joshua 23, much like this morning's message, Joshua coming to the end of his life. It's really his farewell address or his final words. Last week in chapter 23, we've seen that he gave them as a warning. What would happen if you turn from the Lord? You backslide and, suffer the consequences. Lose the power of God, Him fighting for you, lose His presence. You know, lose your edge over the enemy. Become in bondage, ensnared in your own sin, entrapped. And how, you know, He giving these exhortations, concerned about the people that they would continue to serve the Lord. In chapter 24, much in the same vein, you know, desiring them to remember the only safeguard in chapter 23 to really keep you from falling and stumbling was to hold fast to the Lord. Stick to the Lord. Love Him. Just maintain a relationship with the Lord and stay in fellowship. And how in chapter 24, he continues. Much in the same way, he calls a gathering. Look in verse 1. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem. And he called for the elders of Israel, for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers. And they presented themselves before the Lord. Kind of has a meeting again. Calls a gathering, an assembly, there at Shechem. And Shechem, interesting place, you know. Biblically, that's the very first place that God promised Abraham to give him the land. Meaningful place to the Israelites. It's the place where earlier when they came into the land, they they made a covenant with God. It's the place in between Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim where they read the law and they said, Amen, we're in. And they confirmed, they ratified the covenant. They're there again. Joshua, getting close to death, you know, calls a meeting. And the Bible says that they presented themselves before the Lord. It's kind of like a church service, you know. They gathered in assembly. And as we come, we gather together, we praise, we worship Him. We present ourselves before Him. So it's a spiritual meeting that they're having. Opening themselves, presenting themselves before the Lord. In verse 2, and Joshua said to all the people, Thus says the Lord, God of Israel. God speaking, again, kind of in cahoots with the church service. You know, God's word, the exhortation of God's word. Interesting, Joshua here in this next section of the next, 13 verses or 12 verses, speaks as a prophet. He speaks for the Lord. You'll read through that passage, God speaking in the first person through Joshua. Joshua speaking as a prophet. God speaking, using the personal pronoun, I, some 17 times, quite a few times here. As they speak, as Joshua speaks the word of the Lord. Kind of gives a history lesson. Through the next section there, he's talking about from Abraham, you know, and all that God has done, just a review of history and how, you know, God moved and God intervened. And kind of interesting how active God was in history. I circled all the I's, you know, in that in verses 3 to verses 13, there's some 17. But the verb that follows, I took, I gave, I sent, I plagued, I did, I brought, I did, I brought, I gave, I destroyed, I would, I delivered, I sent, I have given. The action of God in their history. The right way to look at history is to see what God has done, not only in our personal history, but in, you look back through the Word. that what God has done from the beginning is what God is speaking through Joshua about here in his farewell address here, exhorting them to serve the Lord. In the past, God was very active. In verse 2, the remainder of 2, he started with Terah, Abraham's dad. He said, on the other side of the river, speaking of the Euphrates River, he served other gods. He's reminding them of their past. Their past was, you know, God called Abraham, took Abraham out of the Chaldees, and his family served other gods. He took them from an idol-worshipping nation. You know, kind of reminding us of what God's delivered us from, our past. You know, how God delivered us from our past. Before he got a hold of us, before we've submitted to him, we served other gods. He says, on the other side of the river. Speaking how God's been faithful, all the way from the beginning. Speaking of what the nation, the people have been delivered from. He goes on, bringing them right up into the present. In verse 13, he says that I have given, presently, they're in the promised land. God gave them blessings, brought them in, fought for them, dispossessed the foreign nations, got rid of the Canaanites. Now they're dwelling in the promised land. Kind of speaks of a life of grace. For in it, he says, you dwell in houses you did not build. You're getting what you don't deserve. You're reaping produce you didn't plant. You're eating, you know, what other fruit of another's labor. And it speaks of a life of grace. Kind of places us in our present. You know, we're getting what we don't deserve. God has been so good to us. Come before him. He's not holding our transgressions against us. He is so good to us. We live in a time of grace, and they presently, kind of speaking figuratively, being in the promised land, it's a life of grace. God blessed them. But for on purpose, he's talking to him, trying to exhort them to serve God. And much like a church service, you know, they're gathered together. You know, they present themselves before the Lord, as the Bible tells us in Romans, that we're to present ourselves to God, our members as instruments of righteousness. You know, turn to him, open ourselves to him. The opening of God's word, the exhorting of God's word. And, you know, not in a way that's, you know, academic. You know, not just the facts. It's to be personal. It's to be brought home. You know, otherwise it'd be like, you know, a documentary on the History Channel. You know, as we go through the life of Joshua. But even as God speaks through Joshua to the people in the present, I have given what I've done for you. God desires our church service to meet us where we're at. That it'd be personal, you see. He's speaking to us personally today. How to bring about a response from us. Just as Joshua speaking for the Lord, or the Lord speaking through Joshua, desiring to bring forth a result. God, you know, the Holy Spirit makes it personal. He gives an appeal. You know, he desires Joshua, or God speaking through Joshua, that they be devoted to God. They stick with God after he dies. You know, they would continue in a loyalty, in a devotion, in a dedication to God. In verse 14, Joshua says, now therefore, you know, since God has been so faithful in the past and in the present, and he's been active and intervening, and you're brought into the present this day, into a day of grace that he's blessed us so much. He said, therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river in Egypt. Serve the Lord is the point is the exhortation he's trying to bring across to the people. Serve the Lord. How? You know, to serve the Lord. He said to serve him in, you know, it's interesting how Joshua, giving this farewell address, you know, he's not like some preachers kind of using a cheap sales trick to bring about a close or a response from the people. It's just God speaking. But when God speaks, it's very persuasive and personal. And as he's speaking, he's saying, now, what I've done for you, serve me, is what God's saying. And the way to serve him, serve me with fear. Give me the respect and honor I'm entitled to. That's all he wants. It's what he's entitled to. Serve me fear with fear. He says, serve me in sincerity, in truth. Be real in how we serve him and how the people were to serve them, serve God. To be honest. God desires true service. The service of the Lord's got to be in truth. He says, put away the gods. You know, put away the gods that your fathers worship on the other side of the river. How God desires change, and it requires change in our life in order to serve him. We have to repent. And we say that 100 million times as we go through the Word. Jeremiah. Yet, he really does. And it really does require change. We have to change in order to serve him. Put away the foreign gods from the other side of the river. The type of service needs to be true and sincere, honest and real. And it requires change. It requires making a choice. Look in verse 15. As Joshua goes on. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It requires making a choice. You know, again, God gave us, you know, the capacity to make a choice. We're free to choose whether I want to live for him or whether I want to live for myself. But it requires an action. Putting into action my will. That's what serving God is. I have to make a choice. I have to be resolute in my mind. I'm going to serve the Lord. Not only does he tell us how, but he gives us, you know, the way. It's in making a choice and putting into action, exercising our will. Notice he says, if it seems evil to you to serve God, if it's wrong, I looked that word up, evil, it actually means good for nothing, kind of like giving the idea of a waste of time. If your devotion, if your faith to God is a waste of time to you, you know, like good for nothing, it doesn't, not getting anywhere, it doesn't seem like, you know, God's doing anything. If it's like a waste of time, you shouldn't even be in church. That's what Joshua was saying. You know, for he's really addressing those that are straddling the fence. You know, hey, make a choice. Either serve God or serve them other gods. Just make a choice. Go all the way. Do one thing or the other. You know, live what you believe. If you serve God, serve God in truth. Be real. Be honest. Him explaining that it takes a choice. You have to make a choice. You know, if you're in that indecisive mode, you have to, I'm not sure what I really want attitude. You have to make a choice. The other gods. Serving the other gods. Interesting, you know, the other gods. Some of the other gods in the Bible, most of them. Yeah, did a little background check. You know, he says, you can serve God, the living God, the true and the living God, Or you can serve these other gods, the gods of the Amorites, the Canaanites, the ones from the other side of the river, the ones in Egypt. Take your pick. You can serve any god you want. Just serve. Serve someone. Notice he says that you don't have a choice to serve. You're going to serve. But go all the way with your service. The gods in the Bible, Baal, he's the god of fire or nature, sun god. Mammon, mentioned in the Bible, the god of money, power, prestige. You know, some serving money, power, prestige, position. Molech, god in the Bible, god of pleasure. Kind of like the thrill, the rush, living for pleasure. Or Asheroth, or Ashtoreth, or Astarte, same god, different names, different nations, was a goddess. Part of the worship of Astarte was temple worship. It would denote sex, you know, living for sex. Living for sex, living for pleasure, living for money. You know, if you're living and serving that god, Joshua says, go ahead. But he who serves the Lord, let him serve the Lord. He follows, you know, his exhortation with a personal example. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm choosing to serve the Lord. Now, he's exhorting them to serve the Lord. You know, look around. We have examples, you know, that we can look to. Pastor Chuck Smith. What a man of integrity, you know, to model after, to imitate, because he follows the Lord, man of the word, you know, so sincere in his service. Men, Billy Graham, you know, we look at them and they're like our heroes. And we can follow. As they follow the Lord, we can follow them. Joshua said, as for me and my house, giving a personal example of serving the Lord, serve the Lord. If you don't want to, don't waste your time acting like it. But if you want to, then prove it by serving him. Put away the false gods. That's what he's calling the people to. He's calling a people to make a choice, to be deliberate, to be honest, to be real, to be true, to be full in their devotion, in their dedication. It requires making a choice. The people respond. In verse 18, we will serve the Lord. In verse 21, we will serve the Lord. In verse 24, we will serve the Lord and obey his voice, they say. You know how they, you know, are accepting the challenge and the exhortation and responding, we will serve the Lord. And how Joshua, you know, making sure they don't misconstrue, defines service of the Lord even more. He says, you know, it's not just a profession. It's not just saying, I will serve the Lord. That's a, you know, a phrase that comes off your lips. He says, you can't serve him. Look at verse 19. But Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if you forsake him. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods. He was saying, you know, if you, in your service to the Lord, it takes dedication. Not only making a choice, but you have to be all in. You can't, it's not an admixture. You know, can't hold on to other gods and serve the Lord too. It takes a purity, a sincerity, a devotion, a dedication, an exclusivity of service. Why? Because God is holy, he says. You know, and God, in his very nature, you know, we pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You're separated, you're holy, sinless. And his holiness, how God expects us to serve, recognize, fear him, trust him, serve him. He says, for the Lord your God is a jealous God. God loves us so much, he desires our love in return, you know, devoted and dedicated to him. How we're to serve him in our heart, in dedication. In verse 23, he goes on explaining, defining even more. Now, therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. Put away the foreign gods which are among you. How he desires change and repentance in our service, in our dedication, our devotion. You know, things creep in. You know, things seem like they're not happening. Things seem not like they're dying, or we get in phases of numbness. You know, the Bible tells us not to be weary in well-doing. We're to be strong. We're to continue. And to continue in change, in devotion, in dedication, to turn to him. That's what that church service is all about. They presented themselves before the Lord as the Lord spoke, and they personally responded. As the Lord speaks to us, we're to personally receive and respond. Incline your heart to the Lord God. One thing about God is that our service to him has to be willing. You know, it can't be under constraint. That's why, you know, some preachers can manipulate and, you know, sell you and, you know, power of suggestion and use different techniques and draw back or bring forth a response. Whereas God desires our response to be from our heart, or it's not a response. It has to be willing. Volunteer. We have to be volunteers for Jesus in our service, in our heart. Incline your heart to the Lord God. They are rallied. They profess. But the Bible says that Joshua makes it official. In verse 27, it says, Joshua said to all the people, behold, the stone shall be a witness for us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. It shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God. He takes the stone, he writes the law in the book, takes the stone, put it under an oak tree as a monument. It's official now. You're accountable to the Lord. You want to serve the Lord? It takes all your heart. You claim to. We will serve the Lord. Then it's official. This stone here is going to be a witness, not against you, not only in a trip, but your own words will be a witness against you. And it's official. You know, we got a monument, you know, and in our monument and our service because of what he's done, you know, and he's solidifying it, kind of making it, you know, bringing them into accountability, making it official. The rest of this chapter speaks of Joshua's death and burial. He died at 110 years old. The burial of Joseph's bones, you know, his brothers promised to carry him out of Egypt and bury him in the promised land. And then Eleazar, the high priest, dies and is buried, tells the locations where they're buried. But notice in verse 31, there's a happy ending to the book of Joshua. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord, which he had done for Israel. They not only professed, they lived and served, and all the way, and not only till Joshua died at 110, but all the elders, all those that were a part of that movement, going into the promised land, the leadership, they served the Lord to the end. You know, look at this, and, you know, my desire and hope is that our service, our church service, would allow the Holy Spirit to be personal to us, and we would respond to him. You know, not just go through the facts and the word, you know, but to hear him personally, to hear him exhort us, to stir us up, that we would respond. I will serve you, Lord. volunteer willingly in sincerity and truth, and proving it by putting away the foreign gods, the things that occupy our heart that belong to Him. You know, to repent and to change, to be restored into fellowship with God. You know, that we might serve Him wholeheartedly, that we might honestly be real, not, you know, go through the motions. It's so easy, you know, to get in a rut and act like, you know, we come to church, you know, and we got our little routine, you know, first we have the opening prayer, and then we got the, you know, the worship, and then the offering song, and the scripture reading, and routine. And go through kind of spinning your wheels like a mouse or a gerbil and not sense God, not worship God. And, you know, for the congregation, I stand, read the, you know, scripture reading, sing the praise songs. Some of them you know by heart. You're not even singing. You're singing out of the left side of your brain, you know, without a memory, and not being attached or connected to Him. He desires our heart, that we would incline our heart to Him, that we would be connected to Him, and to serve Him willingly, wholeheartedly. Let's stand. You know, and Lord willing, if we do what's right, we'll have a happy ending to our life too. You know, wouldn't that be neat? You know, the preacher gets up at your funeral and says, you know, he or she served the Lord all their life. Man, that's a testimony there, you know. Lord, we turn to You, and we thank You. We thank You for Your word, Lord, and we thank You for the example of Joshua. We thank You, Lord, for Your Holy Spirit that quickens Your word to our heart and our mind and our life. Lord, cause us to grow spiritually, that we would serve You, Lord, willingly, openly, truly, not out of constraint. But we respond in love because of Your love. Free us, Lord, to be who You created us to be. We thank You, Lord, for all that You've done in our past and our present. We ask, Lord, that Your hand be upon us and that You continue to bless, that You would lead us, Lord, for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.